one of the most uplifting shows on radio, No Glass Ceiling, introduces women in business who do just that, run their business, and women in business roles that once were taboo. Join me now for No Glass Ceiling on Business Radio X.
Okay, here we go. We've got another show of the wonderful No Glass Ceiling that represents all sorts of people that we have here in Tucson. And today we're very fortunate to have Alma Gallardo. Thank you. She's the executive director of the Arizona Bilingual Newspaper. That's and Global Multimedia. Electronic billboards, radio, special events, and newspapers. She's certainly broken through the ceiling, her own business, and we're fortunate enough to have her today on No Glass Ceiling, and we're going to be speaking with her very shortly. Rebecca Kozowski, she runs around like a mouse, I can tell you, never stops at the Marana Chamber of Commerce. She's one of the fastest-growing townships. Well, town is Marana. It's neighboring Tucson for those that are all across the country and have never been here. Marana is one of the fastest growing towns in America, and so is their Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to be having as our special guest today Rebecca Kozowski. Hi, Rebecca, and welcome.
Hello, Mark.
Okay. And last but not least, we have a lawyer today by the name of Priscilla Frisby. She's an attorney at Law, PLLC. And, well, she grew up in the border town of Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico, and Douglas in Arizona. Welcome to you too, Priscilla.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Okay. We've got a nice mixture today. How are you all? Pretty cool?
Wonderful.
Pretty cool. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely. This is good. We're good. We're getting rid of our hot weather now, aren't we? And it's just starting to come into the nice time of the year. Priscilla, you grew up in this border town. Did I pronounce that correctly? Agua Prieta?
Yes,
I did. Oh, good. Okay. My Spanish is getting a little better. You graduated from the University of Arizona, magna cum laude. And went on to study law at California Western School of Law in San Diego, California.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. How did you find all of that? Was it a wonderful time in your life?
Yes. I wish I could go back to school. When I was in school, I couldn't wait to graduate, and now I wish I could go back.
Yeah, you had a good time.
Definitely.
Did you know at that stage of the game what you think you might be studying, what you were going to specialize in, perhaps?
Yes, I always knew that I wanted to study law, so even when I was at the university, I knew that the ultimate goal was for me to go to law school. Ever since high school, I knew I wanted to study law.
Really? Was there somebody else in the family that... you know, this emanated from?
No, it was just I took a debate class and I was pretty good at it, so I liked it and I knew that that was my calling.
Right, very good. And doesn't it make a difference if you get to do and study at university what you think you really want to do? Because there are a lot, aren't there, who study their hearts out and find out it's not what they want later.
Definitely, and it's a little bit hard because before you can enter law school, you have to get a bachelor's, and it really doesn't matter what you study, so that was kind of a little bit of a difficult choice for me because it really didn't matter. I could have taken interpretive dance, and as long as I had the grades and, the LSAT score I needed, I could have gotten in, but I chose something that was applicable to every career and all aspects of life. I majored in psychology and Spanish. I got a double major. And so I thought it was important to learn how to appropriately write Spanish because even though I'm a native Spanish speaker and it was my first language, it's very different. The proper way to speak and write in Spanish. Mm. And then also psychology is just something you can use every day in everything.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's smart thinking, to be honest with you. Rebecca Kozowski, your role at the Chamber has been what, membership director?
Membership director,
membership
yes.
director for some time now. How does one go about being a membership director?
Well, first you have to ask a lot of questions, and then you have to learn to listen. I found that a lot of people don't really listen to what business people's needs are or look at them as people. I've had a business of one sort or other since I was 19, and so I naturally got that entrepreneurial spirit, so I understood multiple businesses, from contracting to marketing. So that my background really helped me a lot to understand the psychology of
what
business
you had to
people.
Do.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's a lot because, let's face it, it's every day you're dealing with those people, aren't you?
Yes.
And you've created and communicated a leadership voice, from what I understand. You're a very hard worker. You have been reflecting the mission and the vision of the Chamber in your community for quite some time. What's your goal overall? Where do you think, and why do you do all of this? That's what I'd like to know.
One, I love it. I love business people. I love dealing with them. They just have a whole another spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of risk takers, and I appreciate that. And they put their hearts in it. A lot of their families are so taken. I mean, there's family backing. It's scary. It's exciting. It's fun. So part of what I want to do is remind people about the fun part about being in business, because it can be great fun.
Right.
So there's a lot of benefits to just taking that hat off of all of the work, and remember that you started a business because you wanted to start a business and be your own person. And so a lot of that is fun.
Yeah, and a lot of it's hard work too, but it's
absolutely.
All part of the game, isn't it? I believe you are constantly engaged in educational and marketing classes for Marana. Marana, which?
It's Marana.
Marana, right.
I go by our governor, mayor, Ed Honey. He says Marana, and he grew up there, so we'll stick with that.
If he doesn't know, who would? Let's face it. you do a lot of mastermind sessions, like SWOT analysis and social media content, all for the businesses.
Yes. It's good for me to have a good educational background in all of marketing. I have a marketing background too, but being able to figure out what your target market is, your demographics, and a lot of business people have not really thought it through so well.
Mm-hmm,
so
being
able to help them get a bigger picture and help define their goals is really important, and I want to make sure that happens at the Marana Chamber. And that is actually why we have so many committees and interest groups, because that helps engage people and gives them something that is their heart that helps keep them.
I feel like they belong, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we're talking demographics and of course, advertising and marketing, Alma, I mean, for over 18 years now, Alma R, what's the R for, by the way?
The what?
What does the R stand for?
R? Rodriguez.
Okay. Guiado, she's applied her special abilities to the Spanish media business. Now, she plays a key role in the development of new markets in the area of media, sales, special events, and public relations. That's a lot. You do it all, huh?
Yes. We do it all. It's incredible, but we do. And we love it.
Well, there you go. That's part of it. Your background includes radio, TV, an advertising agency, newspaper, and hosting, right? So you've done executing special events. You've really, you know, in that 18 years, you've done a lot of things.
Yes. We have been in business for 15 years now with the publication. We have been doing a lot of strategies to go to different markets. Now we distribute in Tucson, Southern Arizona, and Sonora, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our name is Arizona Sonora Bilingual.
Right.
That's our name. And through the years, we have been doing different other things with other media. My background is in marketing as well. And I've been working in TV and radio and advertising agency, and still doing a lot of consulting for other clients, especially the ones that come from Sonora, Mexico, or other states in Mexico.
Well, you are the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Arizona Bilingual Newspaper. Can you share a little bit about your clients? Would it be 50-50? Would it be 80-20% that are Hispanic? Or what type of clientele do you go after?
You know that a lot of them, they look for the Hispanic market, but it's not exactly that we have Hispanic clients. So it's the opposite.
Okay.
I mean, most of our clients, they're looking or they're after the Hispanic community.
Well, you know, let's face it, we're in Tucson, and we have a terrific multi-mix, don't we?
Yes, 47% in Pima County.
How many?
47%.
47%?
Yes, speak Spanish.
I better learn Spanish, I think, the way it's going.
Yeah, maybe. I think you can. You have
it's a beautiful
strong,
language.
You have
it's
a strong accent, right? You can do it.
That's my g'day, mate, Aussie accent, love.
Yeah, you can do it.
You've implemented new areas of distribution for the newspaper, as well as new ideas and special sections. Something must have worked on that. You've been in the market for over 15 years. Do you think you were born to do this? Did you have to learn it, or did it just come naturally?
I remember the first time when I was in radio here in Tucson, I had a mentor, and he said, if you don't have passion, if you don't get it, you're not going to do it. So you better do it or you can leave. So I always remember that, and I say, yes, you have to have passion first. I mean, you have to live it, you have to earn it, you have to eat it, you have to do everything with your business, especially right. with media. But, I mean, it doesn't matter you're in media or another business. I mean, you have to live with that 24/7. Isn't that true?
That's absolutely true.
Well, you
1,000%.
Yeah, 1,000%. Your husband, Jesus Rodriguez, he is your partner and owner, along with your incredible team, your colleagues and clients. They've created a bicultural expose, really, here, which enriches the communities, sharing reliable stories, interest in people, positive and important information. This is good. That's an important thing to readers in Tucson and southern Arizona and, of course, northern Sonora. Mexico.
Now we distribute in the entire state of Sonora.
In the entire state now. So what is it, do you think, that has made this paper so successful?
First of all, to be bilingual, I think is a key. It's key in this community. And, you know, I'm not sure if you have been in Sonora, but I know Priscilla, she does.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be surprised how many people speak English in there, especially the new generations. Everything they say in English and social media and everything is incredible. But a lot of them, they're U.S. citizens or residents.
Right.
So they come and go, and they come and go on a daily basis. Or their school, they live here and they go back. So I think that's one of the key elements for us, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, we try to share stories that are really positive in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Very local, we try to be in the region, sharing stories of both areas. But, people, they don't want to see a lot of bad news anymore.
I think they're getting tired.
Yes, they're getting tired. So we try to be very communicating everything about health, education, community, business, and, you know, entertainment and everything. So that has been a mix of everything. And then we're very busy in social media. Not to forget that. I mean, social media is pretty good. It's not everything yet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be also with the traditional media, with radio, TV, print, regular one. And here in Tucson, in Southern Arizona, and obviously Sonora, I mean, everyone, they like to, a lot of our, you know, readers, they like to read.
Well, people still do like to read, and they even like to hold that smelly print in their hands, too, you know?
I know, and a lot of them, they like to be, you know, my daughter, she's 13 or 14.
Right.
She likes to be doing everything in her tablets, her iPhone and everything. So
All the time. The kids are like this, though. But do you encourage, you often hear, I think it's a very debatable subject, should not the younger generation coming through be learning English?
Yes.
And they'll always speak Spanish. It's their heritage, right?
As a parent, you have to talk to them in Spanish if you don't want them to lose your culture, traditions, and everything. And it's a very interesting situation because you know we do speak English, but the parents and relatives they don't. So they need to speak Spanish because of that. Maybe when they get married or something like that, they're not going to speak English, Spanish. I don't know. But, I mean, and they do speak English 10 hours a day at school. We have to face that. And
well, are you seeing this in Marana, too? Are you seeing the crossover of more and more Hispanics speaking English?
Yes, I think it's, I see it much more, but I think we need to encourage it from both sides of the aisle.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you go to Europe, everybody speaks four or five different languages.
Exactly.
So
right.
I think it's something that we should look forward to doing. And not only
to language, I think we should be speaking more and more. Right.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Rebecca, part of your deal is you've built and enhanced existing relationships with government, large businesses, small businesses, not-for-profits. You work with them, too. And other community partners. So you're right into the community, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
The Chamber's reach is, it's you can't stop it.
I can't.
It's like oozing water off the sink. It goes everywhere. The leadership in Southern Arizona. So is Marana highly respected? Do you think as a chamber?
Absolutely. We are we're very much into making sure that, for instance, our committees, each one of the different committees give back in some way. So, for instance, we started our health and wellness committee and decided there was such a shortage of health workers that we started a scholarship fund and gave away our first. So we're going to make this an annual
scholarship
idea, yeah. For healthcare folks.
Okay.
So we had four winners this year. But incorporating giving back to the community, I think, is really important. And people look to the Marana Chamber for doing that. We do a lot of community partnerships with other businesses like SABA, Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, Tucson Association of Realtors, just a lot of other groups that have a lot of better reach, and it helps us get to everybody and get the message.
Mm, that's very important. Now, and a lot of people call it a township, but it's a town.
It's a town, yeah.
Okay.
Not a city yet.
It's not a city yet.
It's growing.
It's certainly a town on the move, that's for sure. You're constantly maintaining your knowledge of current statistics in your role for the town of Marana and the business community to become a subject matter expert. I mean, nothing gets past you, I guess. You're fed this information all the time, correct?
Yes. Well, I'm fed, but I research a lot.
Right.
So, I mean, it's important for businesses that are moving to Marana to know about the demographics that are living in Marana.
Right. So I was going to ask you that. When somebody does come to this part of the world, maybe they come from the East, the Midwest, wherever, they're thinking of opening business here or expanding, do they really go to the chambers first off to really
many
get a comparison?
Many times they do. Yeah. There's kind of a generation gap of people that do that. People that are, we'll just say, 50 and older will automatically go to the chambers because that's been a habit of going to chambers of commerce as a resource.
Hmm.
With all association membership groups, getting new members of younger, young professionals is mm-hmm. always a challenge. And so that's one of the biggest things that we try to work on. But when people do, we do have a visitor center, which is partly what helps. So we're the first visitor center as you're coming south from Casa Grande. So we get a lot of people that come in that are looking to relocate, that are interested in learning about tourism, discover Marana, and stop and get water and use the restroom.
But, and everything else that goes with it.
Once they're in, we got them.
There we go. So your role, obviously, too. Would move you in social media marketing. Are you involved in that heavily for the chamber?
We now have someone that we hired to do our Facebook specifically because you can't do it all without a social media manager, but we certainly...
Well, it's become a full-time job, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Keep up with everything.
Yes. So, we can't do it on our own, so... best to hire out to a specialist, so that helps. But we do do classes within the chamber, like I say, and we have the social media.
Right.
Lunch and learn tomorrow.
That's cool. That sounds like something. What would you say, Rebecca, is your most favorite thing to do? What's the most enjoyable work thing that you do during a daytime? Because we wear a lot of hats.
Ribbon cuttings. I love when people, and so our... Through the Marana Chamber, we call them milestone celebrations, so they don't have to be a ribbon cutting to just start a new business. It could be their first year anniversary, their fifth year anniversary, an open house to introduce a new manager. So lots of celebrations to be done.
You like champagne, don't you?
So, darn it, we haven't worked the champagne part, and I'll think so. I'll get on that.
Well, I think what comes out of doing a lot of ribbon cutting is the social side of it. It's fun. It's obviously connected with a positive thing that's happened in the community.
Absolutely.
And, they're fun. There's no doubt about it. Poor Priscilla, she's stuck behind her desk all day working. You don't get out, do you, to none of these things?
I do try to. I'm a member of the Better Business Bureau, the Hispanic Chamber, and I try to make it to the mixers when I can get away from my office. I recently went to the multi-chamber mixer, and so I try, but it is hard.
It is hard for timing, yeah. And now you were in law school after all that time. After graduating, you returned to Arizona. You worked at the Pima County Public Defender's Office, right?
Correct.
What would you say would be the biggest learning lesson that you got from that?
I think just having, like, empathy and working with people that are maybe shunned by society. As a public defender, you're working with people that are accused of a crime, and I think there's a stigma that people attach to people that are going through the criminal justice system, and, you know, just being empathetic and really treating them and seeing them as a person and knowing that they are innocent until they're proven guilty and having that mentality, I think that would probably be one of the biggest lessons I learned at the public defense.
Well, sounds like a fabulous lesson you learned. You're very empathetic. How many years were you there?
About two and some change.
Doing some change, all right. Mm-hmm. You then decided to open up your solo practice.
Yes.
In 2010. Were you nervous at all about the idea of going it alone?
I didn't really plan it. It kind of happened. I graduated from law school in 2008 when the economy tanked. And so I was waiting for my license when the public defenders had openings. And once I got my license and the results from the bar, because it takes a couple months to get those results.
Oh, right.
Once I got my license, they had a hiring freeze, and I needed to get a higher paying job. And so one thing led to another, and I reunited with a mentor I had had back when I started law school in 2006. He had some extra space in his office, and he took me under his wing, and that's how it all started.
You got to go from there. That was nice of him.
Mm. It was the situation, not so much that I had planned on opening up my own firm.
Well, you mentioned, I think it was 2 months before you got your license, right?
Quite a bit more. I took the test in July, and then it takes about 3 or 4 months to get the results.
What does everybody do? What do all your classmates do? Do you nick off to Europe or something? Or
eat all your fingernails? Have a lot of nightmares.
Well, that's a long time to wait for a result, isn't it? I mean, that'd be horrible.
It is. It's very nerve-wracking. It's a 2-day test.
And you have no idea?
No idea.
That you've passed, never mind well or great or high. It's even whether you're going to be a lawyer or not.
Correct.
Oh, my God, I don't think I could act that. Hey, Rebecca, no?
No.
You know a funny story? I had already gotten my results, and it had been months, and I had a nightmare that woke me up in the middle of the night where I dreamt that they called me back and said, because it's all anonymous, it's by numbers, and so you never write your name on the test. But I dreamt that they called me and said, we messed up, that was not your test, you didn't pass, or you need to retake it.
Right.
And I woke up in a sweat, but it was like, it was just a nightmare. I passed it, I passed.
Yeah, like, oh, you poor thing. Heavens above. Now, it's all passed now. You handle primarily criminal,
correct,
domestic, personal injury, and wrongful death cases.
Yes.
Okay. Can we talk about some of those examples? I mean, what comes under this heading?
A lot. For example, criminal, I would say the most common offenses that I see are DUIs and domestic violence offenses. And I believe the reason for that is the fact that these two offenses are the most prevalent. They do not discriminate age, gender, ethnicity, social class. It's across the board. DUIs and domestic violence are by far the most common. And for the most for the most part, they're usually misdemeanors, unless there are more serious injuries or it's three times in a row within 7 years for the DUIs, then it would become a felony. But yeah, criminal is anything where you're accused of a crime, whether it be at the town. I know Marana has the Marana City Court. There's also whether it's a misdemeanor in one of these town or justice of the peace courts or superior court for felonies or even federal district court where you could either have a misdemeanor or a felony. Domestic matters would entail anything that is like a divorce, anything with custody of children, division of assets, child support, spousal maintenance, orders of protection, and all that good stuff.
Well, there's a lot of areas, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, you picked a smart one. I think you could always earn a quid somehow, somewhere in there,
right,
can't you? I read that you and your team tend to go that extra mile for your clients. You help in any way that you can. What do you attribute this to? I think, girls, we've realized that she's pretty caring, haven't we?
We have.
We've realized that, and you're empathetic, but, you know, you didn't know you were going to go down this route. I mean, what led you in versus straight-out defense, you know, litigation, suing? I mean, this area, it must be pretty heavy on you. It's taxing. You're dealing with, you know, a lot of problems all the time.
Yes, a lot. I wake up to, sometimes by 10 a.m. I've already been cussed at by four people.
Really?
Sometimes it's, it's definitely taxing.
Well, I hope, you know, your million a year that you're earning is, you know, pays for itself. People are so wrong, aren't they, on what they think lawyers earn?
Oh, yeah, there's a huge misconception as to the income for attorneys.
Yeah. Did you plan to run your own business when you initially went to law school?
No, like I said, it actually just sort of happened. All I really wanted to do was advocate, help people, and, you know, debate.
Right.
And it
politics didn't appeal to you then?
I actually had a little run with politics 2 years ago. I ran for Justice of the Peace, but that was the only time I ever ran or became heavily involved in politics. And the reason was that here in Arizona, to be a justice of the peace, which is a judge for the misdemeanor courts, you only need to be 18, speak English, and live in the county. You don't even need to learn how to read and write.
You're kidding.
No. Yeah. And so I thought that if the candidates in the race did not have law degrees or legal experience, and I figured that if somebody has the power to take even 1 hour of a person's freedom away, that person should have some training and experience. And that's what prompted me to jump in the race. But I did not win. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I just hope that the person who won is training to really do right by
the right
people.
Thing.
Correct.
Yeah, look, I think you're still very young. You've got a lot of time ahead of you, you know. And I think you'll get there. Were you prepared for, you know, what running your own business really meant?
Not at all. Like Alma said, when you have your own business, you breathe, eat, sleep your business. I mean, you're constantly, there's no off time. There's pros and cons to everything. And one of the things about being your own boss is that there is no schedule. You're always working in some way or another. And I was not at all prepared. I mean, I know how to litigate and do the job of an attorney, but having your own business, it entails everything from bookkeeping to HR. There's just so many aspects of it that, I mean, if we're out of Kleenex, I have to buy them so my clients can cry at my desk, and then I have to prepare my closing statements. You know, it's just a lot. So I was not prepared, but it's a learning experience, and little by little.
We've learned, you know, what are the types of cases that you handle, but what would you say would be the most rewarding part of your career?
Just when clients turn to you and hug you and start crying because they're so grateful. That is what really feeds me, and that is the most rewarding, whether it be a jury, a criminal jury trial, and the person is finally vindicated and they're found not guilty and they turn to you shaking and they...
That'll be a buzz.
They cry. Yes,
but,
definitely.
But you know definitely they're not guilty.
For sure.
For sure, for sure, for sure.
Yes, I believe my clients. I mean, and if I don't, that's one of the beauties of being your own boss and being in solo practice. If I think, if I have an ethical issue with a case where I believe a person is really not innocent, I don't have to take the case.
No, that's true. You've got that choice. Rebecca, your most enjoyable work during the day is again what?
Oh,
ribbon cutting. All righty. Now, tell us about the Green Committee that you started and the annual event that's emanated from that now.
Part of the reason I have added committees and interest groups is because I'm talking to people all day long that are business people, and I see what their interests are and their concerns. If there seems to be a glaring hole open of something that's not meeting their needs, I try to see how the chamber can help that. And so that was one how I came. I'm kind of passionate about green already. So I grew up in an area of Lake Erie in Ohio where the lake was polluted. And when I was growing up, you couldn't even swim in it because it was just, there were signs up, you couldn't swim in the lake. So I actually started in high school, wrote papers about eutrophication and all of these things.
Wow, you started way back then.
So I was kind of on that end. So, and then I had some chamber members that felt the same way. So making some green choices is good for our environment and our economy. So
As well. It's getting that way. I had on, I think it was last week on one of our episodes of No Glass Ceilings, had Dory on from Green Living AZ, the magazine.
Right.
You know, and that was quite interesting. What about the ambassador program, Rebecca? What's behind that?
Those are our frontline folks that are help the new members get onboarded and they help me be another wing of me so that they can learn what those folks' interests are and how they're going to best fit in the chamber and stay in the chamber, because not going to do any good to keep bringing them in the front door if you can't retain those members. So we a big hot spot's keeping retention up. So,
And does it cost much to join the chamber?
No, you can start as low as $269. So
$269. That's not a lot, is it?
Yeah, per year. No, not at all.
The new created film committee and the Veterans Committee to help with the needs of the community. What's all that about?
Okay, so we have the Film Committee came about. Matthew Earl Jones, who is with the Arizona Commerce Authority, which is the Film Commission for Arizona.
Yes, I believe I'm interviewing him next week, so that'll be interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he came, he got a hold of Laura, among with other towns, to say, hey, we're going to put an advertisement for film to come to Arizona, and each town gets 12 seconds. So she came to the chamber, Laura Cordelieu from the town, because we had a lot of chamber members that were in film and a pretty wide range of fields. So we put together quickly in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We had 2 weeks to do that film. So a production company, a car company that brought in, you know, Cobra and Marana Airport brought, you know, they had an A4 fighter jet. And so we pulled it together as a really fun project. And so since they were filming the 12-second to go to the state, figured we might as well make it a little bit longer. So we did a full minute. And now we have an advertisement for the town of Marana.
Interesting.
And hashtag film Marana. So,
and who was the production company on that?
That was Anstar Productions.
Anstar Productions, okay.
And then we also have a very large production company that is building right now in Marana called Modern Productions. They are in off of Arizona Pavilions, right across from the Harkins Theater there. They will be the largest production company in Arizona period in Marana. So
now
they're looking at about November.
Okay, of opening. And what are they planning to be doing there? I mean, it's, you know, we're still not the movie state yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's lots of commercials and advertisements, and there's a huge range of film projects because everybody needs content. I mean, everybody needs content.
Yeah, it's true.
So YouTube and Netflix.
This town was it.
Yes.
This town used to be it in the good old days, way back when, you know.
Yeah.
What about the competitiveness in the field do you find with the other chambers here in the Southwest?
We are friends with all of them. There's no point in being antagonistic, so it's good to play together.
Only if they pinch one of your members, right?
Well, you would be surprised how many of our members are in multiple chambers.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And it makes sense, too. We have a lot that are in the Hispanic chamber because it covers the fastest-growing town in southern Arizona and the northwest in Marana. It covers Hispanic-speaking, Hispanic market. So you're hitting a whole lot of demographics there.
Yeah, aren't you ever? What is the Marana Chamber Day? What's that about? You have a special day for the chamber, is it? Is it a celebration day or birthday?
We have an annual meeting.
Okay.
That we always have that in August, and we bring in all of our 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, 30-year members, so celebrate their accomplishments for the past year.
So you have them that long, 30 years?
Absolutely.
Been a member in the chamber for 30 years.
Yep.
They would have seen a few changes.
They will have seen a lot since it was some little working out of a trailer.
So what do you do that directly involves you working with the local businesses? I know we touched on all the things you're in, but what do you do mostly? Is it consulting? Is it advising?
I think advising is a lot of it. It's how to best use their benefits in the chamber to be sure that they're getting return on their investment, that they're getting their advertising and fit into whatever committees floats their boat.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a whole lot of business can be done with those committees it's all about building relationships. So
yeah.
If you build those relationships and strategic partnerships with community relations, it's just explosive. So the repercussions just go on and on,
right,
about amount of business that can be done.
Well, one lady's received a lot of numerous honors and awards. Haven't you, Elma? The Hispanic Businesswoman of the Year in 12 and 13 by the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. That's a popular and a very big Chamber of Commerce here in Tucson. What is LULAC?
LULAC.
But I mean, what is it? What's the standard?
It's League of Latin Americans United.
Ah, okay, yeah. Now I know.
It's the oldest nonprofit organization in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And there you go. I learned something I never knew. Yeah. Community Award in September 2013 and 14 for that. And you also received the LULAC Presidential Citation Award in 2015. What does that stand for in your business? Has that helped you in your publication of your newspaper?
Well, I think everything helps. Everything. Obviously, to receive an award, you feel, very rewarded. Mm-hmm. And you feel, humble, happy. I mean, there's a lot of different feelings, emotions,
yes,
and feelings that you can share with a lot of people and with yourself. But besides that, I think there are a lot of people in the community that should be receiving awards. Not only us, that we're in media, we have business, we're connecting a lot of people in different ways. I always say that it's a lot of people behind scenes that they do a lot in the community, and nobody's doing anything for them. But that's something that we're doing something separate for them. But it does help, because people they get to know you, and you have a lot of relations, and then a lot of things can happen with those relations.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you also received the 2016 very special reward by the Mexican consul Ricardo Pineda. Pineda?
Yes. Pineda. Yes, Pineda.
And it's named the Flores del Desierto.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Flowers of the Desert.
Ah, Flowers of the Desert. Isn't that lovely? And yeah. Your hard work in our bilingual community and several other ones as well. But that must have been a thrill for you.
Especially when it comes from the person that is...
the consulate.
The Mexican consulate, and is our maximum authority. I mean... In the Mexican government,
mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. I mean, you feel incredible.
Well, we're broadcasting live, of course, from the Stuart Title studios here in Tucson, and our neighbor is the Mexican consul right next door. So you could just about, you know, throw a little note over there. I think he's coming on the show soon to be able to chat with that.
He's a nice guy.
Now the. Arizona Bilingual Newspaper, you host a lot of community events.
Yes, we do.
As well. I can't pronounce how... Well, I can. I mean, this one, Kids Expo, Children's
Kids
Day.
Kids Expo, uh-huh.
Right, and Mexican Independence Celebration.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I feel sorry for you. I mean, you owned all this land, didn't you? I mean, I've done a little bit of history research. And that Yanks took it back off you.
Well, let me tell you, we like to host, we have like 5 or 6 of those events are owned by Arizona Bilingual.
Right.
And the other ones, we partner with a lot of different events through the year here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more of them that they...
Well, the Tucson Meet Yourself is one,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, we're part of that, and we're bringing some states from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to bring Sonora, Mexico, with a pavilion, and then it's going to come, I think, Nayarit, Mexico, which is south from Sinaloa, Mexico, too.
Mm.
And they're going to be, you know, it's a cultural event, and you try to show and promote, you know, your state and everything that they have to offer.
That's right? Good. That's excellent.
Yeah.
You must keep a very busy schedule. I mean, I don't know how you do it, but you manage to keep Jesus, your husband, and your daughter Isabella,
mm-hmm.
and your 2 stepchildren, Carolina, and Jesus. How do you do it all? I mean, you're a woman in business.
You know, believe it or not, I try to do it all. And I have a very organized schedule, and I give everybody their time.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm home, I'm cooking. I love to cook.
Do you?
And people, they say, I don't believe you. Yes, I do. I mean, I relax when I cook. I like it. I like it. I mean, not every single day, but at least 3 or 4 times a week, I do my own
best
gear.
You can,
yes.
When you're not traveling too, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I have to go to Sonora, especially these 2 last months. I have to travel a lot to Sonora.
Right.
I have business in there and a lot of consulting that we're doing.
Right.
So we have the electronic billboards at the U.S. border.
All right.
When you pass in the international border to Arizona, in Nogales and Agua Prieta, Douglas. So we also manage those ones, and we have a lot of clients in those electronic billboards. And then we also manage 24 radio stations in the state of Sonora, Mexico. We have a new radio here in town that is called Toño 92.5 FM. It's a new radio. And
Spanish
radio, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. coming from the biggest radio network in Sonora.
Mm. So. Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going
yes.
on. So where did you grow up again?
Excuse me?
Where did you grow up again?
In Magdalena, Sonora, Mexico, 44 minutes from, 1 hour from Nogales, south of Nogales.
What was your first trip to Tucson? Can you remember?
All the time. All the time since I was a child, because we all the time we come. My dad, he's a U.S. citizen, so we have to come and go all the time, and every single weekend, to be honest with you.
Really?
Most of it.
Wow.
And I study here at ASU as well, so.
So I think we touched on 18 and 15, but how many years in the business itself now have you been, your business?
My business, with the Arizona Bilingual, 15 years. Well, kind of 13 years, because we bought it from the original owner. He had this publication since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, we bought it from him.
Mm.
And then with the years, we have other companies as well. We have the other one that is Global Multimedia and the Border Innovation Group.
Right.
And we just created a nonprofit organization.
Oh, that's good. And what do you plan to do with that?
To serve a lot of the Hispanic community.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They could do a lot of help in those areas.
A lot of need, yeah.
Is there a reason you chose the region between Arizona and Sonora?
We know that market. We know that people. We know that culture and we know that tradition.
What would be the population as a matter of interest?
Excuse me?
What would be the population that you would reach in that area?
It's very interesting because, I mean, Southern Arizona, you know, it's a mix. I mean, mm-hmm. you go to Nogales and Rio Rico, it's very, very Mexican community. If you go to Sierra Vista and Bisbee, it's different.
Right.
It's completely different. More Anglo or more general market, right? So it's
an interesting part of America, isn't
it?
We have
yes.
a lot of visitors come from the East, the Midwest, North,
yes.
Canada. They love our food. They love the Southwestern flavor
and
the weather and our golf and so on. So, you know, it is important to know your market these days.
Yeah, and then you go to Sonora and it's another mix.
Yes.
Because they want to copy the U.S., right? So everybody wants their brands. Everybody wants to come here. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to shop here. And everybody wants to study here. So, a lot of different things happen all the time that you go and back and forth.
Elma, let me ask you this last question, I think, coming up is... do you think it's important to empower other women?
Absolutely. You have to do it every single day, especially business owners. There's a lot of small business owners that they wanted to do something else, and they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to start. And I love it when I can connect somebody with the right people or
right.
the right organizations, because that's a very difficult situation in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in all the communities, people, they don't know that there's a lot of resources, free resources, and we all know that, right? And they pay for a lot of different things. They don't have to pay. At the end, the job wasn't done or it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to connect people with people with the right connections
mm-hmm.
and to empower other women to do something.
That's
it doesn't
good.
Matter that you're working from home, but you have to do something.
Whatever. Even if you're stringing some bees together for the heck of it. It's something you're doing, it's yours, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very much yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to ask you, what would be your biggest mistake you've ever made when it's come to your business?
Everybody says that I'm very aggressive. I am, but I'm very flexible too. But when people, they don't know you, they do say a lot of different things
mm-hmm.
about you.
Of course they
and,
do.
You know, I don't care about that, to be honest with you.
We have to be thick-skinned,
yes.
don't we?
I mean, somebody says you're love or you're hate. I mean, somebody's going to love you and other people's going to hate you. So that's the way it is when you're in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in media, it's hard. It's very hard.
Yes, it is.
But, I wouldn't change everything that I have done so far, to be honest with you. I think I will do it again. So there is a lot of mistakes, up and downs,
mm-hmm.
but it's a learning experience. So I can stay with that.
Well, Rebecca, you're not going to get out of it. I've got to ask you the same question, but it seems to me you're the type of woman that would handle anything. But if you had it all over again, what's been your regret of your worst mistake, do you think, you've made in business?
Not thinking big enough. I think sometimes, and people that know me will probably think, how on earth would she say that, because I'm always thinking big. But I think you have to keep pushing yourself and ask the questions and learn by your mistakes, of course. But, I think what's the Mark Twain one? You never regret anything except those that you didn't try.
That you didn't try, yeah. What the heck, have a go. Well, when you look at all the things the Marana Chamber has won, the awards, the Best Chamber Readers' Choice Award for the second year in 2017, you just won 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this has come from, you know, your effort, a lot of work. All the promotions, Shop Marana program, a keyword interest that you do. It's been Rebecca Kodosky that has instigated a lot of these programs, and you know, probably help you if you're going for president, are you?
Okay, you did have to ask it. Yes, my hat is in
the
ring.
You gotta think big, come on.
My hat is in the ring for CEO. The executive committee of the board is the one that makes the decisions, and they'll be deciding that October 15th.
You think you got a chance?
Yeah, I think so.
Good on you, love. I hope so. Although we'd be very pleased to see you as CEO there. I will congratulate you when you are, and we'll have lunch together or something, all right? Now, your dedicated work in hiring a team of staff at the Chamber, that reflects the culture of caring and friendliness, and I guess it's contributed to a lot of your wins. How do you handle all the, you know, the knockers and the put-downers and that? Do you have a good culture there?
It's a very caring culture. I think one of the things that we have always been known for was the anti-click. I don't believe in that at all. Everybody needs to have a voice. That's why we're the voice of business. That's part of our mission.
Oh,
so,
okay. All right.
You know, for us not to follow that is a mistake. And I think that as other businesses that do that at their peril. Because you have to listen to business, large business,
you'd
everyone.
Be a good CEO, my dear. Not a problem. Priscilla, what's the one thing that you take care of most in your line of work, would you think?
I, as an attorney, and I believe in any kind of business, but more so when you're providing a service, your reputation becomes invaluable. You're only worth as much as your name is worth, and I take care a lot of my reputation, and I take pride in the work that I do, because if I sign my name to a document, that is my representation when I'm not there. And so I need to be very careful with that, and also make sure that people understand exactly what's going on, so that there are no surprises later on, and no ill feelings because of misunderstanding. So just making sure people are aware of everything. And they're not sugarcoat things, never promise people things.
That you can't do.
Exactly.
Don't go over the top, yeah.
Right.
Well, no, you've got your head screwed on properly, I can tell you that. But how has being a minority woman impacted your career, if any at all?
I'm very blessed, and so far as I've not experienced a lot of racism and or sexism. I mean, aside from a few comments here and there throughout my life, but thankfully it has not been much, or maybe I just choose to not focus so much on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's actually been something positive, where I have been retained by people because of the fact that I'm female and maybe could be more sympathetic or empathetic to their case. A lot of people even are out specifically looking for a female lawyer just because that's what they want.
Maybe they think the judges are a little softer with you representing them, you know, that the outcome is going to be a little more positive.
And, you know, at the end of the day, we are all humans, so obviously it shouldn't, but it does play a role. I mean, obviously if somebody dislikes you, they're not going, you know, the situation is not going to be as good as if somebody who's likes you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And judges, lawyers, clients, we're all humans at the end of the day, and as much as we try to put those things aside, they still somewhat, I say, play a role.
Right.
And as far as my ethnicity, I also think that it's been positive, because a lot of people feel a lot more comfortable communicating with you. They feel like you understand, especially when you know the colloquialisms.
Right.
And everything. You understand how they grew up, where they grew up, so you have this perspective that maybe somebody else who's not a minority would not have.
So there you go. That sounds to me like it's more a positive than anything else.
At least I tried to look at it that way. And I do want to say something about Alma, because we've known each other even before today. And mm-hmm. I can attest to how involved and dedicated she is to the community. That's how we actually met. We met through one of these, when I was in my campaign for judge, and I started becoming a lot more involved, and I participated in these back to school events, and that's how we met. And then mm-hmm. I was blessed enough. She's a shaker and mover. She organized
not a mover and shaker, but a shaker and mover. Shakes her twice.
Right. And so she had this other event where it was for kids, for the Dia del Niño in Mexico, there's a day where children are celebrated, and she had this event where children wrote to her magazine saying who they looked up to within the community, and that was for a chance to win an opportunity to shadow whoever they were writing about for a day,
right,
and see what it was like. And I thought, and she included me in that, and I'm very grateful because it was a great experience, not just for the children, but myself. I really enjoyed it so much to be able to show kids what I do on a day-to-day basis and maybe motivate them and try to really empower and do positive things for the community. I mean, this is something where you're trying to get kids to be motivated and go to school and have a career, and maybe you could be like these role models, you know? And so I want to thank you again for that. And
there you go, Elma. There's another citation.
And not only that, I mean, Priscilla, she had a lot of letters from different kids, especially girls. Mm-hmm. And I think that was amazing, and we loved it.
Because
we need to have a mix. I mean, women and men in those community leaders, role models.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that from now on. Thank you.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
No warm fuzzies there. And finally, Priscilla, if I was to ask you, what has been the biggest surprise in your career? What would you think? What could you tell us?
The misconception that I had about the legal system and how it worked. I had this like fairy tale conception of how things were supposed to work.
Like Law and Order and TV shows and The Glamorous Lawyer, maybe? No.
Forget all that. Not even the media. Just
the law
the
itself.
Constitution,
right,
and statutes and how the law is written versus how it is applied. It is very different. I mean, the law could say one thing, but the way it is applied is completely different. The system is flawed.
Well, what can be done? Can it ever be changed?
It must be. There must be a way to change it, but it would be a very slow and gradual process. And one of the most surprising things to me was that a lot of everything comes down to money. You know, whether a person can afford a good defense, whether they can afford to bring in all these experts and present a winning defense, whether the arresting agency owns the jail, that'll make a big difference. I mean, two people could get arrested for the same exact crime in different parts of the city and have completely different outcomes. And that's just based on one entity owns the jail, so they could send them and throw the book at him with no extra fees, whereas another entity that does not own the jail and has to pay close to $300 a night to put somebody in the most expensive resort in town over there on 29th Street. It will make a difference in how the person is treated, even though the act was exactly the same. That, I think, was to me...
Yeah, it's not right, is it?
No,
it's
I mean...
It's weird. Absolutely.
It's money. I mean, think of O.J. Simpson when he was on top of his game. Mm-hmm. He presented a winning defense and was acquitted of murder, and then... 15 years later, he stole back his own sports memorabilia and was broke, and he did 20 years, or he was sentenced to 20 years.
And they got him that way, yeah.
That's just one of the examples.
It's hard to say. Well, I'm fascinated. I've learned a lot today, and I'm very grateful to our guests. This, of course, is Tucson Business Radio, and your host, Mark Bishop, and we're part of the Business Radio X Network across America, and I was so thrilled today to have the company of Alma Gajardo and Rebecca Kozowski from the Marana Chamber of Commerce.
Pleasure.
And, of course, Alma was the and is the executive director and owner of the Arizona Bilingual Newspaper and lots of other companies as well. And last but not least, the lovely Priscilla Frisby, attorney at law, PLLC. The big thrill 3 months it took to get those letters after your name. But it finally arrived. You did celebrate, right?
Yes, I did.
That's good. Well done. And she's on her way. We'll hear about her, I think, in time. Maybe she'll be be a judge. You never know. Let's keep on a good side right now.
I'm not going to dabble in politics any longer.
No more? You've done? That's it? You had your little dabble?
Yes.
You sure?
Positive.
Never say never, never, never.
Yes. You should.
You probably do a lot. You never know. Godspeed, whatever you do. And thank you, ladies, for being on No Glass Ceiling.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you very much.
It was enjoyable. Thank you.